He calls it Americana rock and roll, and some others call it country. And because he is the son of a preacher man, Danny Frazier will always have that tinge of soul and gospel in his music. Good evening, Four Around Cincinnati. I'm Elaine Deal. Happy to have the chance to catch up with my old pal, Danny Frazier. Danny, how are you?
I'm doing good, Elaine. How you doing,
honey? I'm all right. These are tough times for musicians, especially when you've got a brand new record to promote, but you've faced some tough odds before.
Yeah, I'll tell you, this one was crazy because we were just getting ready to try to promote this record and actually maybe get out and hit the road a little bit and really try to push hard and spread the word and get it out there, you know, from here to Texas, and then COVID hit. So
yeah. I don't think any of us ever have faced anything like this before, but that's okay. We'll get through it. Let's talk about the new album. It's called Nobody Knows Where I Am. Where did the songs come from, Danny?
Well, it's a combination of stuff that I've written. Some songs I've written, like Nobody Knows Where I Am, I think I must have written back in very late 90s. It was the first song I ever wrote in Nashville, so co-wrote it with my friend Gary Cotton, and he's one of my favorite songwriters there in Nashville. He hollered at me one day. I was a new kid at the publishing company, you know, and I was showing up at 1 o'clock in the afternoon every day, you know. And by 2 o'clock, these writers were already done with their day. They were already ready to go down to the Longhorn and get a drink and start winding down. And so one day, Gary comes over to me at the end of the day, and he goes, "Listen, I'll help you write your first song in Nashville, but first of all, you got to get here at 9 o'clock in the morning. You can't be showing up at 1 o'clock. He said, "We don't write at 1 o'clock around here." So anyways, he said, "If you'll be here at 9 o'clock tomorrow morning," he said, "I'll help you write a song." And so I showed up the next morning. We wrote the title track, Nobody Knows Where I Am, which, of course, I didn't know would be the title track of the record at that point. But yeah, so I've had that song for a long time, and it was a combination of that song and some others that I'd written, and one new song, one of my newest songs was on there. A lot of these songs I've been carrying around for a while. You know how it is when you've got songwriters for friends. You fall in love with their material, and I'm always listening to their new stuff and kind of stowing it away in the back of my mind, you know, or carrying it around with me, listening to it, and going, eventually I'm going to record this song one day. So that's what I ended up doing, you know.
And, I mean, you play all the time, so you've got, I'm sure, a huge...
I've been very fortunate.
Now, how did you get connected with Kenny Vaughn?
I've got a couple of friends, Rex and Angela Palmer, who were my backers on this record, who funded the record, actually. Otherwise, I couldn't do it. You know, I've been all around Kenny and a lot of those players down in Nashville, met a lot of artists over the years and stuff. And Kenny was one that was kind of a guitar hero of mine. You know, most of us guitar pickers love Kenny. I've known about Kenny's playing since the late 80s, and they were friends with Marty Stewart, and they were big-time fans of Marty's, and they'd gotten to know Marty and the band pretty good. So I think Marty and the guys were here in Cincinnati about 2 years ago at Memorial Hall. We went over to see that show, and after the show, I got to meet him backstage, and we were taking pictures with him and just talking, and we were talking about people that we knew in common, you know. And then I told Kenny that night, I said, "Hey, man, I want you to produce a record on it." So he gives me his number. He goes, "Just call me." So I call him about, I don't know, several months, maybe 6 months at least. On occasion, I'd call and he never answered. So finally, I called him one day and I said, "Look, I've been trying to reach you forever and I'm trying to make a record with you and you're not getting back to me." So he finally gets back to me, and then about another 6 months go by. They're busy. You know, you talk about a busy group, man. Marty and the Superlatives, those guys are doing, you know, 265 dates a year or something, you know, maybe more, closer to 300. So it was a long haul, and we never could get together. And finally, about a year went by, and I said, "Look, I don't want you to produce my record anymore. But you can't turn me down if I call you and hire you as a guitar player, because that's what you do for a living." You know, he plays on a lot of albums in Nashville. So the next day I get a phone call back. He's, no, man, I'll do it. And he's like, "I'll help you produce it." I said, "Nah, I think I'm just going to do it myself." I was frustrated at this point. And then he says, "All right, well, that's probably what you should do." So another couple days go by and I'm sending him songs. He wants to hear some of the tunes, and he's called back and he's really liking some of the songs. And he surprisingly really liked my original music, which I've always had confidence as a singer and performer, at least for a long time. But as a songwriter, especially being friends with so many great songwriters, even right here in town, you know, we've got so many great writers, you know. So I was always intimidated. I never felt a lot of confidence as a writer. But anyhow, he liked the tunes. And so I said, "You know what? If it works out that you start helping me produce this record, then we'll..." Well, within, you know, a few days of phone calls, it was obvious he was going to produce this record with me. So it just kind of worked out finally. And I'm real proud of it.
And you recorded the whole thing in Nashville?
We did, yeah. I think we went in the studio, Elaine. We finally got the studio about a year ago this past March. We went into a friend of mine, a girl named Amy Mayo, and her husband, Chris Lindsay. Amy was in pretty early 20s when I met her. She was one of the first friends I made in Nashville. Her dad was a famous songwriter. And they bought Mel Tillis's old house, and it had a cottage in the back, a guest cottage where Emmylou Harris lived for 10 years. She had a place out in L.A., you know, and she still wanted a place in Nashville to stay. So she rented this little place, and they expanded and built a live room on the back of it, turned it into a studio. So we'd walk in this place the first day, and Kenny goes, he goes, "I used to live here, man." I go, "What?" I said, "Oh, I heard Emmylou." He goes, "She did live here, and then I lived here after her." And I was like, "This is weird, you know." But
wow.
Keith Urban is recorded there, and Taylor Swift, I think, did one of her albums there. And so nobody had used it to make a record or anything in about 5 or 7 years. They'd just been using it kind of as their little songwriting place, you know. So we kind of went in there and reawakened it. But, man, what a great sound and comfy room it was. It was really cool. So we kind of just rented the place for the whole week, which was
nice.
Great.
Well, let me play DJ and spin a tune from the record. Will you set this up for us, Danny?
This song is a song that you asked me to pick a song off the record. I picked one that I didn't write, just because I think it's one of my favorite songs in the record because it's funky and fun and kind of a funny little way to look at life after 50 for me, you know. And this song was actually written by Delbert McClinton and a guy named Glenn Clark down there in Texas. And then another fellow who I've always loved and finally met, his name is Gary Nicholson. You may have heard him, but he toured with Delbert for years as his lead guitarist, and he's always been co-writing most of his hits with him. So those three guys wrote it, and it's called "I Ain't Old, But I've Been Around a Long Time."
Oh, here we go. I ain't old, but I've been around a long time. Long enough to know age is just a state of mind. Well, some things just get better, like fine wine. I've been around a long time. I've seen them come and go and come back around again. Some of life's hard lessons finally started sinking in. If you don't do nothing, you're gonna live to regret. You won't have to live with what you can't forget. I ain't old. Been around a long time. Some people say you burn out if you go too fast. Oh, but I just want to live it up as long as it lasts. If there's a secret to life that I've ever found, it's all about staying in the here and now.
been around a long time. It's Danny Frazier on the line with me. Danny, who played on the session besides you and Kenny? You brought some local boys down, didn't you?
I brought one local boy down who is a good friend of yours and mine, Chris Goins, who's, you know, Chris has played with me. I think this is our third go-around. We've played together since, I think, the early 2000s. We've been back playing together, I think, now probably going on about 3 years. And I think we've had more fun playing music together as we've gotten older. The last few years have been the most fun I've ever had making music with Chris. And you know, he's a hard worker and he's always prepared.
Isn't it kind of nice being at this point in your life where you're just playing because, you know, you love it, and it's just what you do.
Because you love it, yeah.
You do, and I think you're more comfortable in your own skin at this point. Although, Danny, I think you always have been pretty comfortable in your skin.
Well, you know, I think as artists, we have to come off that way, at least. Yeah. It's our job. But I think I'm like most artists. I think I've, on most days, maybe not been so comfortable in my skin. But, you know, I think I pretended more to be. So I tell my kids, you know, there's a lot about getting older that's not fun, but looking in the mirror is one of them. But there's a whole lot about getting older that I do like. And you're right. That's one of the areas that I love, is that I am a lot more comfortable. I'm just don't sweat the small stuff.
That's
so
right.
Much.
And Danny, you dedicated the record to your late father. Can you talk a little bit about his influence on your music and on your life?
So my dad was a great singer, and he had a beautiful voice. Always when I would hear Kenny Rogers, it would remind me of my father a lot. Mm. And we sang along to a lot of Kenny Rogers on the radio as a kid. But my dad's favorite artist in the world, though, was Merle Haggard. Growing up, my dad was a Pentecostal preacher, and my mother was the Pentecostal side of the family. My dad was a Hamiltuck. You know, he was from Hamilton, Ohio, originally. They moved out to California when he was 14, when he was a kid, but he still always had a love for this place. That's how we ended up back out here. Mom was dependent, you know, she was the church part of the family, was the church lady. But my mom plays music. She still can play keys, you know, play the Hammond B3 and piano and church. And my dad could play a few chords on the guitar, but he never did. He showed me my first few chords, but he never, ever really, I've never seen him other than in the house even try to mess with it too much. But he always sang. He was always singing. And my mom and myself and my four younger brothers were always singing. And I learned to sing harmony at a young age. But dad's influence on me was really strong. I mean, he's the one that really got me into country music, because I grew up more in black gospel music. You know, I was a real big, heavy Andre Crouch fan, and Walter Hawkins and Edwin Hawkins and all these choir leaders and stuff from back in the day. But my dad got me listening to Merle Haggard when we'd be traveling on the road, going from different, you know, going to these different church meetings where he'd be preaching. He used to buy these cassette tapes of Merle at the truck stop, and he'd play them all the way to where we was going, and he'd play them all the way home, and he'd say, "Now listen." He threw him away before we got home, because he goes, "I can't be, let your mom know I've been listening to that secular music." You know? So, no, he was a great singer, and he always encouraged me. You know, I was a drummer, and I didn't want to do anything except play drums. And when I was about 13, he just hounded me about playing guitar or piano, because he said, "God gave you a beautiful voice, and nobody wants to hear you sing from behind that drum kit. You need to learn to play piano or guitar. You need to learn the guitar." He said, "That way you don't ever have to worry about having anybody accompany you when you want to sing a song." So thank God he did.
I'm sure that the record is available at your shows, although, as you said, the shows have been curtailed a lot because of this pandemic. Do you ever see the live music scene coming back to full glory after this thing?
I have to have hope. I'm hoping, though, that everybody can start being a little more cautious and we can get this thing out of here and at the very least get a vaccine eventually for it. I think live music will come on stronger than it's been in years, you know, because I think everybody's going to be craving it. We're missing that human touch, I think, a lot now, you know. Yeah, I think churches and bars will be back to, you know, and restaurants and stuff being really crowded once we get clear, you know.
Yeah.
Okay on it.
The new album is called Nobody Knows Where I Am. It's out now on the Third Rave record label, available at Danny's shows. Where else can people get their hands on it, Danny?
I'm on iTunes. It is on Spotify. And the album's available to purchase on iTunes. And you can also get it on my website.
He's been doing it for a while. And if you've ever been to a festival or an event in Cincinnati, there's a good chance you've heard the gravelly, soulful voice of my guest, Danny Frazier. He's appearing around town as much as possible in this age of coronavirus, solo work, duos with his longtime musical partner, Chris Goins, and some full band shows. For a link to Danny Frazier's music and his shows, visit our website, wvxu.org. Danny, when things open back up, I hope you'll come on in and play one live for us. Is that a deal?
I would be honored, Elaine. Absolutely.
You have a great summer. Good luck with the record, and thanks for spending some time with us. For 91.7, I'm Elaine Deal.